Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation this day, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, as it was read a moment ago. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, working together with God, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but as God's ministers, commending ourselves in everything. Sobering words, are they not? Every month, the Lutheran Witness prints a list of official notices. Among them, you will find some that say, John Smith has resigned from the clergy roster and is no longer eligible for a call. John Smith has been removed from the clergy roster and is no longer eligible for a call. Sometimes John Smith left because he may have found that he and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod no longer are in agreement on some point. Sometimes it may be that he has just grown weary in the struggle and simply wants out. But far too often, such notices come because John Smith's conduct was cause for offense, with a result that the ministry was discredited. I once followed such a ministry, and I can tell you firsthand how souls are injured, how congregations are hurt, and how utterly difficult it is, and how extremely long it takes to repair the damage that was done. It is the most heart-rending anguish a pastor can face. St. Paul reminds his readers of what the grace of God is. At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, God brought his grace in Christ to the Corinthians at the proper time. He heard their crying need. He saw them in their distress, their lost condition. He helped them. He has done the same for each of us. Now, Paul says, in this acceptable time, in this day of salvation, don't receive his grace in vain. Don't make your reception of his grace empty and hollow, which gives reason for offense and brings discredit to the ministry. But be as ministers who, when people see them, recognize them as true ministers of God, who conduct themselves in such a manner in every respect. And then comes the catalog. The catalog of how servants of God are to conduct themselves. And a full week's worth of sermons could easily be based on these verses. So I'll look briefly at only the last few. But in this catalog, Paul demonstrates to us how the grace of God has been at work in such a manner in his life, in much perseverance in negative things, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and in hunger. And on the positive side,
He has persevered.
This is most instructive for us in how to conduct our ministries in purity, in knowledge, patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, power of God, and so on. But finally, he ends with these three, which I'd like to elaborate a bit more. As grieving, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. In the ministry, there is plenty over which we grieve. Paul, no doubt, had in mind many of the things of which he spoke in the previous verses, the afflictions, hardships, imprisonments, and so on. These came at the hands of enemies of the cross. Sometimes, sadly, affliction even comes from those within the church, those who should be working with us for the sake of the gospel. And that may be an even more difficult grief. The pastor grieves also with his people. I remember a young couple whose first child was very deformed. They were outside the church, but I had met the father once previously. He was a gregarious young lawyer, and when one of his friends asked me to call him after the birth, he answered the phone with a hearty and confident, "Good morning." When I told him who I was, he said, "How can I help you?" And I replied, "I thought perhaps I might be able to help you." And I could hear silence, and then a quiet invitation to come over to their house. We baptized that child a few weeks later, and 6 weeks after that, she suddenly died. In my whole ministry, I've never conducted a more difficult funeral than for this child, whose parents soon became close personal friends and active members of the church. Yes, we grieve with our people. We grieve over sin, over the sins of our people when we see the devastation they bring, and over our own sins, and only hope they do not cause offense to the flock. Yet in our grieving, we also rejoice, for we know our Savior has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, that he has redeemed and pardoned us as well as our people, and that by his suffering, death, and resurrection, we are released from sin's dread curse of eternal banishment from God. We know also that even the grief we suffer in this life that is still the residual effect of sin can be borne patiently for the time being, knowing that we can rejoice even in our troubles, for they prepare us for the glorious time that is yet to come. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. These two are similar. Paul knew poverty. Few of us have ever known it or ever will, at least real poverty. We know we don't enter the ministry for money. yet we're human and struggle sometimes with the desire for more. Some are blessed by serving wealthy congregations who share that wealth with their pastors. Others will serve small, struggling congregations their whole ministry and share their struggles. But we make many rich, for we bring the abundance of God's grace and endless mercy to those who are in need. And we who have nothing, not really applicable to any of us, not even to seminary students, we still possess everything. Everything that matters. Everything that counts. For the gifts of God are ours, His precious word and sacraments, His forgiveness, His salvation. By the cross, we are made heirs of an eternal inheritance that no one shall take from us. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ of an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. With such wealth given to us to proclaim and to dispense to God's people, is it any wonder Paul tells us to receive the grace of God not in vain? That we give no reason for offense, that the ministry not be discredited. Ours is a glorious task, a sacred trust, a holy privilege. Let us exercise it always in and by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.